Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 215, The Shaman, the Beast, and the Nature of Time. Now, this is the episode that is before the episode where we celebrate 10 years of the Dream Show. So we're going to start today with a little look back at how it all began, and then we're going to delve into a general kind of theme of the past, the present, the future, the nature of time, and we're going to take a little side trip too into what the faces of the different people may mean in your dreams. The faces of the people, the animals, just a little kind of trip along that lane. But before we get into that, the websites, my website is janeteresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. And you can go there to read all the other blogs that I've written. You can go there to listen to every single episode of The Dream Show that's ever been. And you can also, of course, always listen to the last 10 episodes of The Dream Show on iTunes. And you can also go to my website to find out how I can help you in learning about dream interpretation and dream therapy, or in consulting me about the meaning of your own dreams. So you can also find out about my online courses at the Dream Academy, which is dream-academy-online.com, or find me on Facebook or Instagram. But on with today's show, The Shaman, the Beast, and the Nature of Time. So starting with a blog that I wrote earlier this month, that's March 2019, called An Invitation. "You should do a podcast show about dreams," said Belinda, a self-confessed geek friend, 10 years ago. I groaned. Podcasting was only vaguely on the periphery of my awareness, and the thought of getting my head around yet another kind of technology for my business felt overwhelming. I was already doing quite advanced HTML work developing my website, which had originally launched back in 1998, and was preparing for the inevitability of adding Skype consultations to my repertoire. The blogging word was being flung around, and I was successfully dodging that one at the time. I preferred the simplicity of organising my business around phone consultations, writing books, and talking about dreams in the media. All that was to change. "Podcasting would really suit you because you're confident on radio," Belinda added. I resisted. She persisted. Then she sent me a list of people offering podcasting platforms and highlighted one face, James Williams, because she thought his profile read well. I looked and noticed that one of James' clients was a friend of mine, astrologer Jessica Adams. So I inquired, and naturally it all began from there. My husband, Michael, learned the technical side of podcasting, assisted by James's expertise, and off we went. The Dream Show was born in May 2009, and now here we are about to celebrate 10 years of podcasting. So we're going to dedicate the next episode, episode 216, due out on the 26th of April, to our 10th anniversary. Little did I know that starting the Dream Show was only the tip of the technology iceberg. By the end of 2009, I began blogging, and in 2017 launched my online learning platform built by the very same James Williams. One of the things that we value about the Dream Show is keeping it real and raw. We don't edit, other than to add some music at the beginning and end. When we have a guest on the show, which we do for around 75% of our episodes, I enjoy knowing nothing about them or their dreams until we hit the record button, and then getting to know them and their lives through their dreams. It has been such an honour and a blessing to walk with our guests through their dreams and to share the experience with you, our listeners. When our guests explain how the dream interpretations relate to their lives, when they share their intimate stories, that's where the magic happens, for me, for our listeners, and for our guests. As well as our episodes featuring guests asking about their dreams, we do our talky episodes like this one, where I share information about dreams in, I hope, an entertaining fashion. You, our listeners, asked for this addition to the format, and we responded. For our 100th episode, we invited people to send in messages that we read out or audio clips to include in the show to celebrate. Now, I'd love to invite your thoughts, messages and audio clips for us to include in our 10th anniversary episode. That's our next episode, episode 216. So if you'd like to send in an audio clip, perhaps saying what you love about the show or what was most memorable to you, please include your name and which city or country you're from in the audio. So our deadline for that is Monday the 15th of April. So if you'd like to do that, it's really easy. You know, just get your phone, record yourself speaking for up to a minute, give your name and your country, a nice little message about what you get from the Dream Show or just what you'd like to say, and email it to me and I'd love to include that in our next show. So don't be shy. Let's make this a lovely celebration. Thank you. I was sorting through my files this week and I found this little piece that I wrote as an introduction to one of our newsletters last year when we were preparing to leave Brisbane for our interstate move to Hobart. It feels like it belongs here. I don't know whether you have this in your city or country, but in Australia each street has an annual curbside collection. It's a week where you put all your oversized garbage and things you're not allowed to put into regular garbage or recycling out in front of your house for the council to come and collect and dispose of. So people put out old furniture, mattresses, defunct electrical and white goods, and various odds and ends. It was our streets week this week, which was brilliantly timed considering our imminent move. You don't know how much stuff you're hanging on to until you move house, do you? As I was writing this newsletter introduction, the council truck picked up our stuff. I have a nice street view from my office, and I felt a lovely lightening as the last pieces were lifted onto the truck. The metaphor for dreams is obvious, of course. In dream work, we discover what we're hanging on to, what beliefs and attitudes and so on we can let go, what can lighten our life and our spirit. The reality of our curbside collection system is quite community-oriented. We started with a huge pile, including some good, usable stuff. People drive by, sort through, and pick out stuff to take home or to recycle in entrepreneurial ways. Everyone gains, and the resultant landfill is reduced. This morning, our last bits and pieces that the council truck picked up amounted to very little. I'm looking for the analogy to dreams and dream work, and one thing that pops into my head is listening to guests exploring their dreams on the Dream Show. As listeners, we pick over the details of a guest's dream, what's let go or released, finding treasure and value that we can apply in our own lives. What treasures and value have you found through listening to the Dream Show? Or through being a guest on the Dream Show? Do please share for our 10th anniversary. Send me that audio clip or message. It doesn't need to be long. A minute or less or so to share the joy will be perfect. Thank you. So continuing the theme of looking back to the past as we contemplate the future, I'm bringing you a blog that I wrote in September 2018 on the Dream Academy. There's two blog roles. There's one at janetheresa.com and there's one at the Dream Academy. And this one was from September 2018 at the Dream Academy and it's called Rear View Mirror. The past is an illusion glimpsed in a misty rear-view mirror, offered the shaman in my dream. Pass your hand over the mirror, clear it all away. He was a magnificent being, polished mahogany Caribbean skin, long dark hair as a backdrop to thick, glossy, silver-white curls that framed his face and tumbled down to reach his waist. A modern shaman, offering a car metaphor rather than a story from nature. The dream was long and complex, and I spent time working on it at every level, but I thought the rear-view mirror metaphor was one you might enjoy exploring with me. I'm sure you agree that our individual memories of the past are somewhat misty, cobbled together from highlights and lowlights, tinged with emotion, missing huge key chunks, reimagined over time, influenced by hindsight. In these ways, the past is an illusion, a shifting personal reminiscence rather than a catalogue based entirely on fact. In my dream, when the shaman suggested passing my hand over the mirror to clear it all away, he meant clear away the past completely because it's all an illusion. He meant focus on the present. In the dream, I had the sensation of something being cleared from my mind. Then I settled down on the floor to rest. On waking, I pondered the various options the metaphor offered. When you clear away the mist on the rearview mirror, you also have the option to see the past, what's behind you, more clearly. What you see about the past may still be illusory, but perhaps closer to the truth. You might gain clarity, and in gaining clarity, you might find that the memory or event no longer holds as much sway on the present. Or in gaining clarity, you might find the clearer memory pivotal in changing your perspective of the present and your way of being in the world. When you're driving, you need to look in the rearview mirror from time to time to be aware of what's behind you. And at specific times, such as changing lanes, when it's critical to know what's behind you. More than this, the rearview mirror keeps you in touch with what's coming up from behind, perhaps about to overtake you or influence your driving choices in some other way. Revisiting the metaphor, perhaps we need to clear that misty rearview mirror so we can see what may be coming up from our past, influencing the way we drive our lives in the present. Extend the metaphor further and consider how valuable it might be to see which aspects of the past, the actual past or our illusory memories of it, may still influence our choices about our future direction. My dreaming mind chose a modern-day shaman to express a point of view about how the past influences the present. Since everyone and everything in a dream can be seen as representing something about the dreamer, I guess the modern-day shaman is an aspect of my work as a dream therapist and dream alchemist, or a delving down into the deepest wisdoms of the universe that I can access from where I stand today, which might be different from how deeply down I can access from where I stand tomorrow. Never take the utterings of a dream character for gospel. What any dream character says or does in a dream is simply reflective of one of many aspects of yourself and your understanding of the world. So acknowledge them for what they reveal about your many complex layers. And treasure all dream utterings as offerings to contemplate or meditate upon as you decide on what wisdom to take from your dreams. Let's move the rear view metaphor into modern day dream therapy and dream alchemy as I practice and teach it. When you analyze a dream, you get to see your mindset, your conscious and unconscious beliefs, attitudes, emotions, perspectives, patterns of behavior as it is today, built on your past conscious and unconscious experiences, poised to take you through the present and into the future, give or take nightly updates and changes through your dreams. This insight is gold. Knowing your unconscious mindset helps you to understand why your life is the way it is today and give clues about how your future will turn out. You can step in and make changes that influence your present and future in positive ways through a mixture of conscious awareness, dream therapy, and dream alchemy. In dream therapy, you discover how your past influences your present, whether that past is largely your illusion or somewhat closer to the truth. You clear that misty rearview mirror to see those past influences with more clarity, and then you can decide whether to reprogram those influences into more positive ones through dream alchemy, or to augment them if they are already wonderful, or to let them go altogether if they no longer serve. The point of dream work is to clarify the present and help you to move forward in wonderful ways. The driving metaphor is apt. To ensure a comfortable drive today toward the best future destination, you need to keep an occasional eye on the rear view mirror and don't let it mist up. Thinking about the polished mahogany Caribbean shaman I met in my dream, let's explore the faces you meet in your dreams, starting with this blog from November 2018, which I wrote on janetheresa.com, which is called The Faces You Meet in Your Dreams. I dream of people I've never met, faces I've never seen. Who are they and why are they in my dreams? Most people remember dreaming of friends, relatives, work colleagues, people from their past, and people they've seen around but haven't spoken with, and most of us have chatted with celebrities and other famous people as if they were old friends, only to wake up rather surprised. But it's those faces we've never met before that can mystify us in the morning. You might dream of a generalized man, woman, or child, someone who plays a role in your dream, but you don't really notice details of their face, hair, or dress. Let's put these to one side. It's those other dream people we want to focus on, those whose facial details strike you in the dream and are memorable when you wake up. In other blogs and podcasts, we've explored the dream lover or soulmate whose face is etched on the dreamer's mind for weeks afterwards, a face they feel exists out there somewhere in the world waiting to connect with them. People have told me they have searched for years for the person they met in their dream without success. Typically, these dreams are about connecting with a lost aspect of your own self, integrating it into your being. The dream has all the clues you need to identify those lost aspects, and working with the dream and dream alchemy gives you everything you need to facilitate that integration and feel more whole. It's at that point that the dreamer will often find their ideal partner, and that partner rarely looks like the lover in the dream. So how do we come up with those dream faces? While it's enticing and exciting to think that we might be connecting with other people while we sleep, perhaps meeting on an astral plane somewhere between worlds, or previewing faces of people we will encounter in the future, these are unlikely explanations. Those dream faces may be selected from faces we've glimpsed and forgotten, faces that seem appropriate to the dream character, or they may be created by our sleeping minds in a more of an identikit fashion. This personality type would have a nose like this, eyes like that, and a mouth shaped like the old guy who used to live next door. If you doubt the ability of your sleeping mind to be creative enough to invent amazingly realistic different faces, take a moment to think about how creatively your dreaming mind comes up with totally new scenarios, buildings, landscapes and stories. It's the stuff of dreams. Some of the never met dream faces are, when you take time to reflect, composites of people you know. You might notice Carl's nose, Peter's eyes, and Brent's mouth. In that case, ask yourself what these three men, Carl, Peter, and Brent, have in common. As a dream symbol, what meaning might this communal face capture? Faces, people, everyone, and everything in a dream represents something about the dreamer. So as to the who these people are, that's easy to answer. They're aspects of you, the dreamer. As to the why these people are in your dream, it's because you're processing issues around those aspects. If you're trying to figure out the symbolism of a totally unique dream character face, break it down. What does a nose like that mean to you? What kind of personality do you associate with a nose like that? What personality do those kinds of eyes portray? What does the set of those lips suggest about what the person is thinking or feeling? Does the face remind you of someone, and what do you associate with that person? You might later see elements of a dream face in someone you meet in waking life, but be careful not to jump to conclusions and align them with the character in your dream. Take a deep breath, Return to your dream and apply all the dream interpretation skills you've learned through my online courses at the Dream Academy so that you can gain insight into yourself. When you are clear about your inner world and the facets of yourself those faces represent, you see your outer world in a new and better light. Now, you may be a little spooked by some of the faces you see in your dreams, knowing that they represent aspects of yourself, and you may be concerned about what some of those more sinister faces reveal about yourself. So this seems a good place to introduce a blog that I wrote back in July 2014 called What's in a Face? Now, I have brought you this in a previous episode of The Dream Show, but the repeat is warranted, I think, because it seems to fit nicely in here. What's in a face? Half boy, half beast. He sat on the edge of a swimming pool in a dream I had once upon a time. His body seemed stunted, his face albino white, a long wide nose, no eyes. I was very wary of him, not sure how he'd respond to me. If I were to write a blog about my top 10 tips for interpreting dreams, I'd include everything and everyone in a dream represents something about the dreamer. Okay, a nice neat statement, but pretty scary when you dream about a murderer, a rapist, or just someone you really don't like, or a boy beast. I will reveal the boy beast, but let's begin with the murderer. Dreaming of a murderer does not mean you have murderous intent. There is no one-size-fits-all interpretation in dream analysis, but a starting point is to look at who the dream character is murdering or has murdered, so you can get a feel for what kind of energy the murderer wants to quash. Then ask yourself where a similar battle is going on within you. You can also contemplate your dream murderer. Look at how he or she acts. Examine his face, his body language. Gather clues from the symbol that your dreaming mind has created to represent something about you and your beliefs about life. You can also, when you are awake, question him by doing a dream dialogue. That's a way of talking to a symbol in your dream, and it's something that you can learn more about how to do on my online course, How to Interpret Your Dreams Step by Step, over at the Dream Academy. Have your dream murderer dialogue with the person he has killed or wants to kill for more insight. But let's scale it back down. Let's look at the boy beast I once met in a dream. I was as wary on waking as I was in the dream. What did this strange creature represent about me, and did I really want to know? My first instinct was to let it go, but my more intelligent self knew that there would be much to gain from discovering something new about myself. I thought about his face and wondered what it was about his long wide nose that seemed important. The answer appeared in my mind immediately. He relied on his instinct to smell danger and respond. Just as quickly, I realized that was why he didn't have eyes. He represented blind instinct, my blind animal instinct. He was albino white because my dreaming mind saw him as having just emerged from the pool, from the darkness of my unconscious into the light of day, with no time yet to gain a suntan. Dreams reflect our conscious and unconscious experiences of the couple of days before the dream, and when I looked back, I realized I had become newly aware of responding in a particular situation through blind instinct, and this was stunting my growth. The details of the rest of the dream painted the whole picture. I wonder who first coined the term blind instinct to describe an innate, or perhaps also learned, response to a situation that bypasses conscious awareness, at least in the moment that it occurs. We respond without seeing, without an eye to consequence, driven by an urge to survive. Those instincts we share with animals, to bare our teeth and growl in defense, to run and hide to save our skins, to feather our nests to provide for our young, to roll over and play dead, to bite back, are genetically programmed to keep us safe and protect our species. But the more we are aware of our instincts, the more we can take a moment, breathe, open our eyes, reflect, and choose better ways to respond. There's been a lot of controversy over the last century or so about the nature of instinct. How much is innate? How much is acquired in early life? Dreams allow us to discover our automatic, habitual, unconscious responses to life situations that we sense as life-threatening. We share many of these with animals, and others we individually acquire in early life, building our behavioural survival skills with blind awareness. Appease an angry parent. Undermine a sibling to gain attention. Get sick to be cared for. Throw a tantrum to get what you want. Sacrifice your needs to be protected. Look the other way to be loved. "You have such a cool job," someone said to me recently, and it's true. I'm constantly in awe of the nature of our dreams and the life-changing insights they offer us when we are prepared to look. And I'm constantly in awe of our dreaming minds that so easily come up with picture-perfect renditions of, for example, the face of blind instinct. Asleep and dreaming, we are outrageously creative. Our challenge is to courageously bring more of our magnificence into the light of day and let it shine. Finally, it feels right to return to the theme of looking back and looking forward on the eve of celebrating the first 10 years of the Dream Show. So here's a blog I wrote last month in February 2019 on janetheresa.com called Yesterday, Today, Tomorrow. I met two strangers at a party a year or so before I began my work in dreams, almost 30 years ago now. I say strangers because when I asked around afterwards, nobody else remembered seeing them. Both men, and both a lot taller than me, and I'm quite tall, they seemed to act in unison. "We have three questions for you," one or both of them said. "Who are you?" they began. This must be a trick question, I thought, because their intonation didn't come across as friendly inquiry about my name. "Well," I began tentatively, "I'm me." They looked quite satisfied with my answer. "What's the time?" came the next question. This one seemed easy. "The time is now," I replied, getting into the swing of it. After all these years, I cannot remember the third question or my answer, but I do remember them saying something about choosing me to bestow their gift, each giving me a hug before promptly leaving the party as if their mission were done. I wasn't drunk or drugged or dreaming. I was totally conscious and aware, but I was slightly spooked. More so when I asked around about who they were, but no one else seemed to have noticed them. I wondered what gift, if any, they had bestowed, and I still wonder. My life experiences are so extraordinary at times, or my perceptions of them are, that I would be hard-pressed to distinguish where or how their intended benevolence may play out. There are years when I forget about them, and then, at odd moments, like right now when I sat down to write a blog about something else entirely, the memory returns, which is why I find myself sharing this story with you and wondering where it will lead. Back then, after the party, I didn't look for signs of the gift. Maybe, I told myself, they were just two men at a party playing a game. Or maybe the gift and their ability to bestow it was an illusion they both held dear. Or maybe they were drunk or stoned. Or maybe they and the gift were for real. I just let it be. After all, I am me, the time is now, and although there is a third truth that would be nice to recall, I was happy to simply let all that be. Yet between that time and today, my journey into my personal dreams and my professional dream work has transformed everything. I am still me, the time is still now, but the me is far more encompassing and the now is far richer and deeper. Or is that the other way round? Me, now, same thing. I sat at my desk today to write a blog about paying attention to the different levels of interpretation and meaning gifted within a single dream. I got as far as the title, Yesterday, Today, Tomorrow, and that's where the memory of the party came to mind and different words to those planned appeared on the page. So let's see what happens when I return to my intended theme for today's blog. For those of you who have studied my work or done my courses, you'll know that the entry point for the way I interpret a dream is the understanding that a dream reflects your conscious and unconscious experiences of the day or two before the dream. During dreaming, you are processing those very recent experiences to try to make sense of your world. You're comparing those experiences of the last 1 to 2 days with all your past experiences, sometimes updating your mindset as a result, sometimes consolidating it, always projecting slightly ahead into the future, trying out today's updated or consolidated mindset on possible future scenarios. Worried about a job interview you have scheduled for tomorrow? Your dreaming mind will not only process those worries and all your previous similar worries, feelings and beliefs, but it will also project ahead and do a test run based on your current mindset. All your yesterdays, triggered specifically by the last 2 yesterdays, meet today while you are dreaming to try out possible tomorrows. Of course, the dream story might not seem to be about the job interview because it will be richly expressed in the unique symbolic language of your dreaming brain and unconscious mind. But if you are skilled in interpreting your dreams, you will be able to pick any limiting beliefs, fears, attitudes, and patterns that may trip you up at that job interview. It's easier to get accurate, meaningful insight from a dream if you can identify the experiences in the last 2 days that triggered all relevant, resonating past experiences. We can all remember roughly the essence of the last couple of days, and once you have related your dream to those recent yesterdays, it's easier to mine the many yesterdays of your past to find the origin of any limiting beliefs, emotions, attitudes, or patterns of behaviour that may be blocking your best future. Yesterdays are not in the past if they are still influencing the present. And if they are influencing the present, they are influencing the future. And it's not only the yesterdays of your conscious memory that influence you today and tomorrow. Far more insidiously, far more powerfully, it's the yesterdays buried in your unconscious mind that heavily influence your current mindset and the way you respond in the world today. Your dreams, once interpreted, help you to discover more about the me you are, way beyond your daytime conscious understanding, and they help you to discover the enormity of the now, that timeless place where yesterday, today, and tomorrow coexist energetically within you while also playing out in your waking life. When you have the tools to interpret and work with your dreams and to create and use dream alchemy to reprogram or heal aspects of your unconscious mind, you can change the energetic mix of all those yesterdays to create a now that is more in alignment with your best intentions. So you see, I have still not delivered my original blog idea about paying attention to the different levels of interpretation and meaning gifted within a single dream. I will reserve that for another time. The blog instead was hijacked by the title I chose, or by my unconscious mind, or by the rumblings and resonances of the gift bestowed upon me by those 2 strangers all those years ago. You and I might not meet at a party and might not share a hug, but we can each share with strangers and with people we already know and love the gifts bestowed through understanding and working with our dreams. So there we go. That was the penultimate episode before the episode 216, which will be all about celebrating 10 years of the Dream Show. So as well as having a kind of, you know, pretty normal kind of episode, we're hoping to be peppering it with little celebrations of the fact that we've done 10 years. So that is, again, me asking you if you would like to switch on your phone audio thingy and record yourself speaking, maybe for up to a minute, give your name, give your city or country, and just send us a little message that we can weave into and play on the next episode of the Dream Show. So the deadline date for that, I don't like saying deadline, I like saying delivery date. It sounds much more positive, much more birth orientated. So the delivery date is before, on or before the 15th of April, so that we can get it all ready for the next episode of the Dream Show, episode 216, which will come out on the 26th of April, 2019. So if you'd like to do that, recording a little audio file for us, just email it to me. Most of you know my email address, or you can find it or contact me through my website and send it to me that way. That will be fantastic. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. A reminder again of the websites, janeteresa.com, that's Teresa without an H, and dream-academy-online.com. Until next month, have a wonderful month. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.